proposal is to subdivide the parcel into two equal lots and essentially create a nearly identical subdivision to what exists across, directly across Dorset Avenue from this parcel. There are two 50-foot lots directly across from us. There are also some 50-foot lots as we go toward the east. But just in full disclosure, the bounds of our block are 60s and 65-foot wide lots. The reason that we believe that this is an appropriate request is for a couple of reasons. Well, first of all, with the layout of this subdivision, the homes will be completely compliant. There is no proposal to ask for any variances for the homes. By having two homes versus one larger home on the property does provide for an additional corridor of air, light, and open space as you were to traverse along Dorset Avenue. Also, what we have with regard to our parking scenario is we are not asking for variances for parking for the lots themselves. In speaking with Mr. Houck, what he's proposing is four-bedroom homes on these parcels. So the lots will be required to have a minimum of two spaces. But also equally as important is the layout of the street parking in this area, in that there will be no loss of street parking with this subdivision. There is a bus stop in front of us currently, and then there's space for the driveway to come in off of Dorset Avenue for the interior lot, and then there is an existing driveway off of Fremont Avenue, which we will essentially reutilize. So there will be no net loss of on-street parking as proposed with this development. So this is a question again of is this appropriate? Ventnor Heights is interesting in that we've done a number of projects and very similar projects in character and nature to this. In fact, this board approved a subdivision down Somerset Avenue to create 50-foot lots, 417, 419 North Somerset. Those homes were developed. If you drove by there, that was a 100-foot lot. They're absolutely beautiful homes. They fit right in with the neighborhood because they're more consistent with the lots, although they're smaller than what's required. They're more consistent with the lot sizes that are in the area. The lot sizes in this area are, the preponderance of them are 60s. And we do recognize that is a conforming condition. But to go to the idea of a larger home on this property because you have a lot that is, as I said, 167% of the required lot area, in today's development world, this property, if it were to be redeveloped, is looking at likely a home that is out of character in size, scope, and scale to what is around it. So by subdividing this and bringing these lot sizes down, although that might seem an odd idea to think about because we are increasing density by adding a home, but by bringing the lot sizes down, it brings the homes on these lots more into scale with what's around them, which we think is very, very important. The majority of the homes in the Heights are not larger homes. They are more modest homes. You do have a handful, if you look around the Heights, you have a handful of 100-foot lots, and they are beautiful lots. And it would be nice to have somebody buy one of those 100-foot lots and to build himself a 1,875 square foot, one and a half story home, but that's not the reality of the development world on the Barrier Islands today. So if you to redevelop a parcel such as this and try to keep the character of scope and scale and size of the homes, we believe that this is a better planning alternative than maintaining the existing lot as it sits. With regard to the justification of the variance and the positive criteria, we believe that the application does promote the general welfare by providing two new homes in the Heights area that are hopefully homes that are of a purchase price that folks can afford today, because they will be modestly sized homes. We believe that the general welfare is promoted because we are not asking for any other variances on these lots, nor are we taking any street parking away from any of the neighboring parcels or residents that might be using street parking in and around this area now. And most importantly, again, we believe that this actually helps to promote additional air, light, and open space by having a smaller structure, having an additional corridor, a setback corridor between the two homes, which helps to improve upon the landscaping, have more landscaping on the site, and create, we believe, a more aesthetic condition. Ironically, this, when we look back at some of the historic maps on this property was actually 250-foot lots back in the 20s and 30s. So essentially what our client is trying to do is to put back what was once there when this area was originally subdivided, and to match some of the properties that are immediately adjacent and across the street from him. With regard to the negative criteria, is there any substantial detriment to the zone plan? Yeah, again, I would argue that there is not. I think that by our client mentioning that he is proposing to cap at 4 bedrooms, pushes this into a situation where we would actually truly be constructing modestly sized homes, which we think proves out that we are not creating a substantial detriment to the public good. And by not eliminating any on-street parking, we think that also goes to the benefit of the public to prove there is no substantial detriment to the public good. Jumping back to the zone plan or zoning ordinance for a second, is there a substantial detriment in that regard? Again, I would argue that because we're not asking for any other variances, setback variances, coverage variances, height variances, parking variances, there is no substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. Kind of piggybacking off some of the comments in the prior case, yes, we are increasing density on the parcel, but you know, as we talk, density is more than just numbers of units. It's numbers of bedrooms. It's numbers of parking spaces. It's more than just that. And we believe that the density that we are proposing here is very much consistent with all the properties around it, even the ones that are conforming in size. Because as Mr. Callahan stated, if you have a 60-foot lot, it's still one house. It's still 4 to 5 bedrooms. It's exactly what we're proposing here on a 50-foot lot. And keeping this property at nearly 170% of its total lot area warrants the potential for a home that is just out of character with this neighborhood.
I don't have any other questions. For I'd like to bring Mr. Alcock, because we, as the board may know, he's in the lifting business. So we attempted to take a look at this. Steve, give an analysis, please.
The current house that's on the lot is constructed with block walls, and it's got multiple slabs and crawl space floors. So, I mean, we've lived at a few thousand houses in New Jersey. The house is really not liftable or really salvageable. It's in deteriorating condition. The CMU that the walls are built out of alone don't really have much of any structural support left.
We looked at Bill Crowther. The house was built in 1960, according to the tax assessor, built in 1965. So you're looking at a 60-year-old house, give or take, what's there. So we thought that this was, as Mr. Barnhart's gone through, a better planning alternative for the neighborhood rather than going to Mr. Zadig. Can you tear down a single-family house? Yes. Can I sell a single-family house on Dorset Avenue for $2 million? Probably not. And you say to me, why $2 million? Give or take, guys, for a build, a 3,000-square-foot house, 4 or 5 bedrooms, $300 a square foot, so you're in for $1 million to build it, not counting tearing it down, buying it, marketing and selling. So you're looking for a $1.8 to $2 million house right along Dorset Avenue. If you're tucked maybe someplace else in Ventnor Heights, it may work, but driving down Dorset Avenue, I doubt it. At least, I should say, the closest person to having a nice house like that on Dorset Avenue, got Mr. Weasley sitting there.
You just hurt my feelings. I thought it was worth a lot more.
If somebody's coming along offering you $2 million, you may want to take it.
See you later.
Other than that, I open up the board has any questions.
So the driveway on the corner lot will come off of Fremont?
Driveway on the corner lot will come off of Fremont.
Correct.
And Mr. Barnard, we would comply with all other conditions raised in Mr. Barnard's report.
Yes.
All mechanicals would be compliant. We would be completely flood compliant and everything else.
Yes.
Mr. Cook, I turn it back over to you.
Any questions of the applicant from the board?
Well, this is exactly what is across the street behind CVS. There's no difference. None.
Correct.
Square footage wise, it's exactly the same. 8,000 square feet divided in half, we have two beautiful homes. And they sold like that.
Yes.
You know, so. And
with my opinion, no impact on the neighborhood.
Zero.
Right. Well, Brian, I have a question. Was this lot consolidated? Because most of at the time period when they did the, when the...
I didn't go back and check the deeds from the 1930s. I mean, the lot that was given to us was done as a one lot.
Yeah, when the former mayor did, there was a lot of the subdivision already done, and they were in 60s, there were a lot of 50s that were left. In fact, I lived within 200 feet of that, and in 1970s, the city sold me a 50-foot lot on Derby Avenue. I mean, that's what they sold me. It was the last, it was the lot that was remaining, and that was a record, but there were a lot of 50s in there, mixed in with the 60s.
I would ask Greer, I was talking to June Ritter, she indicated that, and Cap Johnson used to live there? Used to be the police department?
Johnson lived across the street.
Okay. On the floor.
Carl Ballard.
That house, we did represent, that's the mayor since before 1965. I'd say that was different, it was all the answer, exactly what it was.
It was one of the few houses in Ventnor that was never landscaped.
I would say to Lorraine, Roger indicated grass stripping and trees, we're doing grass stripping and trees. So we will have to do all the landscaping.
So the VFW is right across the street on Fulton Avenue. So that's there.
Are you not proposing any plans for the houses?
Nothing as of yet. Other than what we were saying, there will be various bridge, four bedrooms, sprinkler, driveway coming in off Fremont, and the driveway that would be off Dorset, we would do a K-turn in, so the person can be coming out facing Dorset rather than backing out of Dorset.
So that's part of the...
How would that be designed? Where would the K-turn be?
Coming out of your garage area or a little bit up there so you could park your car in, back in, and get in. I mean, that's the architect's object, but I mean, that's what we want to do. Because once again, everybody else along Dorset is backing out.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Atlantic County, as John can do a little bit, has been getting, I'll call it squirrely, he can call it whatever he wants.
Yeah, so on county roads with these, with projects, they are, they're more and more concerned about backing out. So what we've been doing on projects is creating a driveway, it's a standard driveway coming in, but then it has a separate little section to allow a vehicle that's going to pull into a garage or sit out front, then they can back out, make a turn, and then they can turn, and so they can leave head out, so they're not backing into traffic. The county's...
But they will back out.
The county's new standards, or I shouldn't say new standards, some of the new reviews of the county are becoming a little bit more strict across the board, not just on that topic, but just across the board, so.
I concur with that.
Brian, have you read Roger's report?
We've read Roger's report, we comply.
You comply, okay. Do you have anything further you wish to add?
Nothing.
Okay, I'll go to the public. Is anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing no or seeing no requests, the public portion is now closed. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant, of our professionals, anyone else?
I have one question. Your narrative says that the subdivided lots would be sold to developers to create their own single-family homes. I understand you suggested that they won't have any variances, but if it's a brand-new owner of a lot who might want to do something different, how can we guarantee that that's going to be a variance-free development?
We're not proposing any variances, that if our client decides to build the houses, he's not going to come forward for any variances. But to your point, Mr. Booth, you can't, by law, you can't prohibit somebody from coming before you ask for it.
So we could very well see a variance of, I've got two front yards now.
And you can deny it.
Okay.
And that's why we're also saying sprinkler has a condition. So that condition would carry over to either a new person coming on.
Right.
Be subject to that condition.
I do have an official comment on the corner lot. Since you're facing two streets, can we make it look like it's two front yards?
Two front yards?
Yes.
I don't have it, just ask.
Just as a condition of approval, so when it comes in...
No problem.
All right, if there's nothing else, we'll need a motion and a second for the following relief. There's the minor subdivision approval that'll create the two new lots, and then two variances for each lot. The lot areas are going to be 4,000 square feet with 4,800 is the requirement, so that variance for each lot, and then the lot width is there 50 feet, 50-foot wide lots where 60 feet is the requirement, so that's a variance for each lot. The conditions, I'll note, they'll do the sprinklers, they're going to put the driveway. Fire suppression, sprinkler, sure.
Fire suppression.
Driveway on the corner lot will be along Fremont, and they'll make the corner house appear as if it has two fronts. And then I'll note anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed, subject to any representations made during the course of the hearing on behalf of the applicant, and subject to any outside approvals, they'll have to, you know, go to the county because it's on Dorset Avenue, and whatever other outside approvals are required. So we need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second, please.
Second.
Okay, have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Joe Annazelli.
Thank you, sir. It's much better. It's what you guys are like. We're a property that, for the yards, must not break the fence. Other choice. Want to comply with anything the county wants to do. Not even differently. It's not. As Chairman Cook said, that I think the lots there and the banks up there, but, you know, the reason said about the CBS, or the CBS, I never had, I'm from that fire, and fire there, that was a huge lot. It's true, I think maybe the three houses there, they look beautiful. This is going to be the same way, I think it is on the building, yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in the affirmative. Economics that were discussed about the houses on larger lots in the area, Dorset Avenue being a county road and a highly traveled road, will not support those prices to begin with, and it puts an economic hardship on everyone, and also causes erratic development. Secondly, is that the board within the last year did a property down further on the same exact thing. I think on Somerset Avenue, if I'm not mistaken. And that turned out exceptionally well. The 50-foot lots are existing in many cases from the old subdivision that goes back in time. And they're not unusual for Ventnor Heights. So with that, I find that it's congruent with what development or pattern that's there. These are leftovers or so on. And it's a good use for the lot. So I vote yes.
Roman Zappy Hutch.
This is a corner lot, and I see that putting up a single family, new single family that's flood compliant is a benefit to the city. Because it's a corner lot, having landscaping on both sides will improve the streetscape of Dorset, which does need a lot of help to improve the look of it. Putting up two, having two lots, I don't think we'll achieve that. So I'm voting no.
Lorraine Salata.
I remain committed to not approving undersized lots, agreeing very much with what Roman said, especially because it is a corner. I don't think it benefits the city in any way at all. No.
Dan Smith the third.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think that it fits in with the development patterns. I think the lot at 8,000 square feet there, I don't see a lot of takers that would come in and look to build a single family home on that lot. Busy highway, got a bus stop in front of you. You got some challenges. I know the owner, the prior owner, and the place needed a lot of work. It wasn't it wasn't salvageable, and he was just putting perfume on it. And he was in Florida and just really didn't intend it, but, you know, he did get rid of it, so.
Daniel has to speak up.
Yeah, I said, that would, I'm in favor of it, and I don't see any negative criteria at this point.
Mike Wiesen?
This takes me back to 2017, when I asked Mr. Howe to come to my house and lift it. And he gave me a price, and he says, I can't guarantee it because it's exactly built the same way the house that he has now. Slab, block, and if you lift it, you know, block shifts. And then I talked to you, Brian. And then I got a proposal to build a single family home bigger. And it was ridiculous to build a house that expensive on Dorset Avenue. I let it go for a couple of months. I decided to, in my mind, subdivide the lot, build the house on one side in case I ever wanted to do something later. And it all worked out because it's in the budget where somebody would buy the house, not a giant house where nobody's going to buy it. So I'm in favor.
Peter Taco.
I'll vote in favor of the application. I don't think that the split line lots over there are detrimental to the neighborhood surrounding areas.
Tim Coop.
I'm going to vote no. I still don't like the increased density. And by my calculation, it's 17% undersized. It's not the minimum. So I'm going to vote one, two.
Greg Fiasco.
I vote yes. There's no detriment in the apartment building. There's more 50 by 80 lots in the height than the real lot. Plus, we had the Summer State Avenue property, and we had the Oakland County property. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're approved.
Thank you.
And then, board members, we have no other business. We have time for adjournment.
Make a motion.
Make a motion. Do you have any? Yeah. Have a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
The first sale sign.
Hold on.
Just a quick reminder.
Hold on.
If you can make the meeting on Monday the 30th. I know the commission would be, I don't believe it's going to be that long because the commission meeting is at 2 on Zoom. So whatever we decide, then it goes to them. So Commissioner Landgraf really asked if we could have as many people as possible. We need at least 5, but he would really like, it's Monday at 1 o'clock on Zoom. I'll send the information out again tomorrow.
I may have to come to your office.
Okay. Just so we have a census, who is coming right now?
We have like 5 or 6. Wendy, Tim, Jessica.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Dan, you said yes. Yeah. I mean, if you can, we need, like I said, at least 5. I'll get the list tomorrow. I don't have it with me. And then, you know, anyone else who wants to move in, I know he would appreciate it.
Okay. Are you complete now? Now may I have a motion for adjournment? May I have a motion for adjournment, please?
We did.
Okay. Well, all right, we're done. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Take care.
Yeah.